with me, and if you don't know where it is, look in your index of the Bible. Haggai, the book of Haggai. 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 If you've never read it, wow. It packs a punch. And we're going to bring the word through this book this morning, God's word to us. And I'd just like to give you a bit of a background to what was happening in that time with God's people. Because, you know, all scripture is useful for our instruction. That's what the Bible is there for, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's here to be the eternal word and to direct us and to govern our lives. And people who lived in the record of scripture, the things that happened to them, God uses what happened to them to speak into our lives personally today and the church today. So we're going to use the Old Testament to bring the word of the Lord this morning. And in verse 1, it says, the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. The word of the Lord came. And that's what's going to happen this morning. The word of the Lord is going to come. And he just uses people, and that's why I'm one of those people today he's going to use to bring the word of the Lord into your life. And in that time, the people of God had been in the land of Israel, in the promised land, for about 18 years. They'd had spent before that about 50 years in slavery. And God brought them out miraculously out of slavery into freedom and into the land of promise. That's symbolic of God delivering us out of the bondage of sin and Satan. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he has taken you out of slavery. He's taken you out of bondage. He's taken you out of Satan's power. And you are now in the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of his Son. There is so much to be thankful for that Jesus Christ has set us free from sin, death, and Satan. But the people, when they initially came back, they were highly motivated. And you are, you know, when you're first set free out of slavery, you kind of are so thankful, you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm so thankful, I will do anything you want. And God's will for them when they came back to the land was to concentrate on and take priority in building the temple of the Lord, to build the house of the Lord. And the temple, really, in the Old Testament, was the dwelling place of God. And in the New Covenant, it is us, the people of God, which he calls his church, his house. We are his house. God isn't just building individuals. He is building. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so the people came back, and they began to build God's house. They prioritized getting resources, using their time and their energy on building the house of the Lord. But after about 18 years, they began to kind of allow other things to get involved as their top priority. God became kind of further down the list, and what happened was they'd stopped actually building God's house. They hadn't been as zealous, as passionate, as thankful. They've forgotten what it was like to just be set free. And they were no longer living for God. They began to live for themselves. So that's the kind of background to the book of Haggai. The temple remained unfinished. And aren't you glad the church hasn't finished yet? Because Jesus, it will finish when Jesus returns. The end of time will come, and it may not be long. And so we better get ready for the end of time when Jesus comes. But he hasn't finished building. He wants to add living stones, people, to the temple that he is building, the church of Jesus Christ. And verse 2, we read what God's got to say into the life and times of his people. Verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you, for yourselves, to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, and I love this comment. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much but harvested little. You eat but you never have enough. You drink but you never have your fill. You put on clothes but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored in it. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy, 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 there it is in the word, busy, with his own house. Busy isn't a new thing. It's always been the problem for the purposes of God. People get too busy with the wrong thing. You're too busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and on the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the olive oil and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock and all the labor of your hands. Wow. Amazing how God sees and what he hears, because he hears everything we say and he sees everything that we do as individuals and as his church. And I would say the first thing that God wants to say to us as his people, his church, it's a wake-up call. God has a wake-up call for you and me. Now, you know when you set your alarm in the morning to get up? Mine was set just after 5 o'clock this morning, having heard all the fireworks that went on through the night celebrating the new year. It was unwelcome, but necessary. It was unwelcome, but necessary. And an alarm, whether you use the modern or the ancient, is an alarm that is sent. You use it to actually stir somebody up, to get them out of sleep, and to work. And so the prophet, the word of the Lord, came to disturb the church, to kind of unsettle the status quo, to speak in to the heart and lives of God's people. And say, it's time to wake up. It's time to hear what I've got to say about my work, my church, and my kingdom. Then he says, consider. That's the next word. Consider your way. Consider means to weigh up. To consider something. You know, if you're considering a new car, you weigh up the benefits, the pros and the cons. You consider, you weigh up, you assess. You take careful thought about what's going on before you actually take action. And God says, consider, weigh up, assess, give serious thought to, review your life. In the beginning of this year. Not just your diet or your exercise. all your own goals and plans. I want you to review and take stock of the reality of your lives. Consider your ways. Now that word, your ways, means the regular patterns. Some of you have already switched off. The regular patterns. Don't switch off. This is the word of the Lord. I know it's uncomfortable, but it's supposed to be. God has given me his word. We need to be made uncomfortable to change. Amen. Amen. Oh, God's happy anyway. The regular patterns of life. So the things that we do in our days and our weeks and our months and our years, we all have regular patterns. Certain time we get up, go to work. Even if you're retired, you have regular patterns. Consider your regular patterns of behavior. And God says, in that considering, I want you to know that I often hear from my people, it's not time. It's not time to work for God. It's not time. I don't have the time to serve the Lord. I don't have the time for prayer meetings. That's just for those who have the time. We say it's just not time. And God says, you keep putting it off. It's not a no. You're not kind of really rebellious in your heart. You just say, sorry, Lord, I haven't got the time. There are many other things that take that time, and you can't get that time because it's taken. And God says, into the life of his church, because we are his. We've been singing Jesus is Lord. Jesus purchased us for himself. This is a revival message, by the way. How many of you want revival to come back to fullness of life? How many of you want a move of God? This ain't going to happen if we don't change. Come on. So don't look miserable towards me. Just say, Lord, whatever you've got to say, I take it on board this morning. It's a word for health and life. It is actually going to bring the best. And there's a promise attached at the end, but you've got to go through the process before you get to the promise. Many times promises are conditional with the Lord. And he's saying there are conditions to the promise that I have for you this year. And those conditions, if you meet those conditions, I promise something awesome for this year. I'm excited because I know the promise. You know, we all do it. I do it. I put off prayer. Has anybody ever put? I put off putting God first and finding other things to do. God has heard all the excuses we've all given for not being in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. He hears it all. So we can't fool God. I don't know if you know that. You might try and fool yourself that you're a radical disciple of Jesus, but you can't fool the Lord. Hello? I mean, the early church, they devoted themselves to prayer, fellowship, breaking of bread, didn't they? And the word of God. There was a devotion. It was what was top priority. But you know, it's so easy, isn't it, for the things of God to drop down that list and everything else to crowd God out. He says to things like, well, I've got homes to build. I've got a home to build. I've got a life to live. I've got a family to raise. You might even be making an excuse because I'm single and don't have kids. I don't know what I'm talking about. But God's talking, not me. Hello? And whatever state we're in, married, single, kids, no kids, he's talking to us all. Because it's about fitting into his plan, not him fitting into ours. Family is not first in the mind of Christ. He is. Wow, that's a holy cow I just killed. Goodness gracious me. God is pro-family in God's order. But it's always God first. We say, I've got money to make. I've got a business. I'm so business busy making money. Oh, and it's for the kingdom. But actually, we put the cart before the horse. The kingdom is first, and all things will be added, Jesus said. Seek first my kingdom, and all things will be added. In other words, the blessing, the cart comes behind the kingdom. God first. Well, I need to get fit. I need to get my proper rest. I need to sort my life. God wants me blessed. Isn't that scriptural? Some of you aren't pleased you came this morning. God wants me blessed. It's scriptural. And so we use and twist the scripture to fit and accommodate the way we live. And yes, I believe full wholeheartedly in God wanting us blessed. But it's definitely not our way. It's blessed in His way. Jesus is the way. His word is the way to live. Seek first the kingdom. Don't leave the church. It's a good message. Don't leave because it's stirring you up. You know, sometimes the words that make you a little bit offended are the best words for you, because it actually makes you uncomfortable enough to become more and more like Jesus in this generation. And to live actually to see the purpose of God for your life and for His church. A disturbing word, let me tell you, is a blessing. Please don't take this as a telling off, but a blessing. It's what I like about the Lord. He doesn't leave us to go in our own ways and end up in absolute disaster. Because the end of our own ways, the Bible said, is death. There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. But there's a way that's right in the Word of God that leads to life, and life in all its fullness. We make excuses, and I've just written down a couple. Some of us say, because I really believe this is what God's put on my heart prophetically this morning. Some of us say this: I used to give time, but seasons change. God knows I'm in a different season. I've done my bit, and actually I'm fine the way things are. And you know, the greatest enemy of greater days is I'm fine the way things are. The greatest enemy of my future as a follower of Jesus Christ personally is that everything's fine, just as it is. And God's wanting to shake me up, not just you. So this is a word for me that I need to accept personally as a word from God this year. The enemy of greater days is I'm okay and satisfied with my own walk with God, with what I'm doing for God, with how I'm living my life, and with what I'm working on in His kingdom and His purpose. The second thing, and it's probably the biggest thing: I'm so busy, Lord, I can't find time. And this is a problem, guys, we all have. We think we can't. We look at our lives. Some of us are looking at our lives. Kids, school, houses to clean. We've got businesses. We've got everything on. We're full on busy. And we say, sorry, Lord, I'll do it when I get more time. Don't we? You just need to help me find some time, so that I'll be able to really get stuck in as you're calling me to, as you're wanting me to make your work a priority in my life. See, the demands can be so great on each one of us. And it's not without compassion that I bring this word from the Lord. I believe the Lord has compassion on you. It's not that he doesn't know what you're in and all the demands that are made on your life. He cares about those demands. It's not that he's uninterested. But actually, what's happened is that actually God gets crowded out of our time because we are so busy. Can you see? If you're so busy, have you ever been so busy? Somebody asks you to do something, you say, I can't do it. Sorry, I'd like to do it. I'd really like to, because I love you, Jesus. It's not that I don't love you, Jesus. I'd like to, but I just don't have the time. Yeah. I love you, Pastor. Got up early this morning for this. Imagine me going to a restaurant and with someone, and we order a pizza because it's just come back from Italy, and we're fasting today. I'm fasting, and I thought this would be dangerous. Starting the 21 days of prayer and fasting, and it's pizza time. But imagine I go to a restaurant and I say, "Hey, let's share a pizza. I don't fancy a whole one. Let me eat first. And just let me take my share." Now, if it's a really good Italian pizza, thin crust, crispy, and rocket and beautiful. If it's a really nice pizza, I kind of might end up eating the lot. Now, you'd look at me and think, that's pretty rough. You go out for a pizza with your friend, and you end up eating the lot. Or maybe I'll leave it an eighth, but that person gets the leftovers. And I think if you think of your time as a pizza, is that all right? Sectioned. Well, this bit is for that person. This bit's for work. This bit's for me. This bit's, I don't know what your bits are. But they're there, all there. All the bits that actually make up your time. And they all get taken up, don't they? And we look at it and say, God, I really wanted you to have that time, but you get the leftovers. Because everybody else gets first pick. Ooh. Ooh. You get last choice, not first. You see, let me make a statement here, and it'll come up on the screen. We can't serve God and do everything we want. I'm sorry to have to tell you. We can't. You can't. You can't travel here, there, and everywhere. You can't. If you're going to build his house, his church, I'm building my church. If you're going to advance his agenda and his kingdom, you cannot. I cannot. Cannot do both. Secondly, we can't serve God and do everything people, even family, want us to do. Any Christians in the house? Do we know this to be the will of Jesus? Hello? We can't serve God and do everything people. This is often the trap. People and even family want us to do. I've had to, over the course of my walk with the Lord, continually make choices for God first, above other things. But the amazing thing is, if we do that, he somehow makes the pizza get so big that there's time for everybody and everything else. Do you understand that? Put God first with your time, your energy, your work. And then supernaturally, how did I get the time? I feel I've got time for this. I feel I can live a balanced life. Balanced. What does that mean? It means radically for Jesus. That's, I'm not talking about balance. I'm talking about sold out for Christ, because that's the church. Amen. So that's not balance, but you understand what I mean. You do get the blessing of time to rest. You do get the best in relationships. You get the best marriages. If you know, there's nothing worse than one on fire for the Lord and the other half-hearted, because it causes a pull. But let me tell you, keep going if you're running for Jesus, and they will catch up. Because God will work where we decide individually. You can't make excuses that your husband or wife didn't serve the Lord. Hello? Come on, church. Jesus is our Lord. He bought us individually to follow him. We can't make excuses if we're going to have what God promises for his church, and I'm desperate for a move of God that will transform our society. I'm desperate for the Church of Jesus Christ to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm desperate for life to be done in the Spirit. I'm not here to do services. I'm here to raise a church in the name of the Lord for his glory. I'm not here just for your blessing. I want you blessed, but I want him blessed first. You understand? It's priorities, church. It's getting back to individually. Nobody else can say yes to Jesus. Your husband or wife can't say yes. Only you can say yes. You can't do it for them, but you can do it for Jesus. See, the basics of Christianity, it's very basic. Jesus said, listen to these words that run through every generation until Jesus comes. Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. If anyone, that's the cry of Jesus Christ for his church. Deny self, don't please self. And it's so easy for life to take over your pizza. It's so easy for everybody to have a bit of you, but God gets the leftovers. It's so easy. Anybody know how easy it is? To not radically put Jesus Christ first and to walk fully sold out for Christ. And so at the start of this year, this word comes not to beat us up, but to lift us up into the will of God for us as an individual and as a church. The only way it works is his way. And Jesus speaks about, and the word of God here says, you know, guys, you do a lot. You work hard. There's a lot that you do, but you're not getting much back. Even, let me tell you, your money will go through. You'll lose it if you don't put Jesus first. Things will just go the way of the world, not the prosperity of the kingdom. Because if we seek first the kingdom, it's like there will be more than enough for every good work. More than enough. And there is a deep-seated dissatisfaction when we start living for our own homes, our own thing, for work. That's the other holy cow. Work is not your savior. Jesus died for you. They can have your time and they can get the best out of you in that time. But you're not here to serve work. You're here to serve Jesus Christ. I'm here for that purpose and that purpose alone. You see, I have memories of when we first planted the church. How every prayer meeting, I'm not going to cry. People walked in wanting to pray. And we're getting to a stage where it's hard to get people to pray or get on a rota for the sound. It's like it used to be, but not anymore. And of course, there are the faithfuls, and I thank God. But God wants his whole church faithful in building the house, the church, for his glory, that he will be glorified in it. And so I've got great memories, but I don't want this for the future. I want a people on fire for Jesus, serving the Lord by paying a price to be working for God. Amen. If you were ever sold out more than you are now, repent. Like me. Change. That's what that means. If other things have crashed in, crash them out. Crash them out. It's up to you. It's a choice for 2017. Your choice. It's your life. Well, it's not, as the Lord. But you can take control of your life if you want to. Or you can give it wholeheartedly to Jesus. See, when I first got saved, and I don't know if you remember, when you first got saved, how you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord. And you said, Lord, I've driven my whole life, and it should be in a life of sin and trouble. Here's the driving seat. I'm just popping over to the passenger seat. You've got the steering wheel, you get to drive. And I began a glorious adventure of faith. My journey was not boring. It didn't lack any good thing because Jesus became my provider as I sought first his will. His will became the one that led me and my life and my journey. But isn't it easy actually to start taking control back of the direction and the things you do, your day, and you get back to the steering wheel and you start to drive. Sadly, as you start to drive, all the bad things start to join you in your car. Whereas before, with Jesus driving, every good thing was in that car. But things start to get tough, difficult. Relationships start to get scratchy. Marriages start to pay a price. There are things that go wrong in your life, and you don't know why they're going wrong, but it's because you're driving. You're in the driving seat. And Jesus actually becomes like a mechanic. A car mechanic. I want God with me. Lord, thank you that your presence is with me. And we put him in the boot. So that when we get a problem, we just stop the car and pray. Jesus, can you fix this? 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 We're still driving. But he becomes like a car mechanic. Many Christians live like that. And maybe sometimes we've been guilty of that sin, where all we do is pray about my thing, and we're not praying about his thing. What's his thing? His house, his church, and his kingdom advancing. That's his thing first. And so Jesus becomes, and I know it sounds awful, and some of you might be sitting there saying, Jesus isn't like that, I honor him. And I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying it's an analogy of how we can treat the Lord in our daily lives. Come and fix this. Rather than, what do you want me to fix, Lord? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to work on? I mean, people who say they serve and they back out, I don't get it. Sorry. Having a moan. No, I'm not. I'm having the word of the Lord. But it's like, what? If you're part of the church, you're here to build. You're here to serve. You're here to add something to the body. Not just to... We're participators in the glorious work of Jesus Christ. Somebody clap because they're getting into revival. We can't allow this year to go to the flesh and do it the same as last year. I can't allow myself, and it's your choice. But I don't believe any of us in this room who really love Jesus Christ would want to allow repeated patterns that actually have become so normal that you think you're serving God and it's not really the real life. It's going to get to the good news in a moment. Is that all right? But there is a solution, and God always brings a solution. He said, there's a solution. I can tell you what to do if you take consideration, take stock. I'll show you what to do. And it's in verse 8. Consider your ways. Make changes. Take action. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house. Go on, say it together. Let's say it. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. Ooh. See, the people of God in that time were taking pleasure in their own thing, asking for God to bless it. But God says, I want to take pleasure. I want this year to be a really good year for me. And then it will result in a good year for you. What does it mean to go up in the mountains? Whenever Scripture speaks about going up into the mountains, it means like Jesus went up the mountain to meet with his Father. Moses went up the mountain to encounter God and to receive things from God to bring down. See, the church isn't built with human hands. We need a spiritual work. We don't just need to work. We need to work spiritually, which means prayer and worship have to build that encounter dynamic with God, that we're receiving things personally from our relationship with God, so that we've got something to build with. So we've got something to add that is actually heavenly. It's spiritual. We're building according to the heavenly pattern, not according to our own ways and thoughts, but we're getting material from God. And in these 21 days that we've set aside for prayer and fasting, just imagine all of us going up the mountain. Come on. Getting something fresh from God, that we fast, not just to fast, but we fast to seek God and say, Lord, this word, let it become a living reality in my life so that I will consider my pizza, my time, my days, that my diary will, I will allow you to take stock through me and bring your will into my diary so that I make changes in whatever way is right for you and for me. Each one of us has time. There isn't one of us in this room that doesn't have time. But we've got to make time. Haven't we? Make time. Take action for God. Imagine what will happen if we all do this. To build God's house and his kingdom. Imagine how different it would be when we come in. We're so prayed up on a Sunday morning. You're already heavenly minded before we kick off the praise and worship. Rather than, come on, church. It's like they've gone. They're with the Lord. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Pray, pray, pray. Pray in the Spirit. Give yourself to prayer. Give yourself to the Lord. Give yourself to corporate times, because building the temple does not happen just on your own. You see, people come together to build his church. Anybody? This is the mind of Christ. We are the church. Come and build, the Lord says. Come and build. This is a call. To come and build, that I may take pleasure in it. Don't you want the Lord to take pleasure in your life, in your work, in what you do? Is anybody here? You don't have to. I'm not going to force you. But do you want the Lord to take pleasure? I want him to take pleasure in my life. And therefore, he's saying to me, make some changes. Because I'm not worthy of leftovers. I bought you, therefore I bought the pizza. Amen. It's a good one, that. I bought you, so I've got the pizza. Give it to me and let me sort it so that you work and prioritize for me. And it's not that he doesn't want you to have the best family life, raise your kids for God. He wants you to have find your destiny relationally and to have amazing relationships. How? Prioritize. Consider. Take stock. Assess. Church. And if you make the change, do you know what change is? Not doing life the same in 2017. Can I make it clear? Is that okay to make it absolutely clear? If you make the changes, I've got some promises for you. But in verse 12, it says, and I love this. I love this. The people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. The people listening online, the people here today, what did they do? Okay, God, I'm going to do it. Do you know God is not glorified in good intentions? He's only glorified in taking action, that we actually do this. Late night last night, wasn't it? But there's a stirring going on in your heart for the Lord. And this morning the Lord is speaking to all of us. And I believe that Jesus has put his spirit in you to cause you to walk in obedience. But you still have to say, yes, I'm going to do it. He's not going to do it. You're going to do it with his help. Right? You say, yes, I'm going to take action. And the people obeyed and they began to go up in the mountains. Instead of, oh, let me make sure my life's perfect before I serve God. They said, right, kids, all of you, come on, let's build the church and seek first the kingdom. That's what they did. Come on, let's do it. And they all went up the mountain, they cut some wood, they had to put a bit of effort. Isn't it an effort to pray? It's a work, isn't it? It's a work. It's a work to really worship God, not just stand there and say, oh, gosh, I'm tired, I don't want to lift my hands. I don't want to sing in the spirit. Dreamy. Isn't it work to really go for God? Isn't it work to put God first in the mornings, during your day, in the evenings, to ask him to govern your time at work, how much time you spend at work, how much time you just be Lord. Jesus, just whatever, I'm giving you my pizza, show me, be Lord. And they began to work on the house and advance the kingdom. I love it. And I believe there's enough people in this room who say, yes, I'm going to obey. I believe the word of the Lord this morning, which of course, can you imagine being asked to preach this word on the 1st of January? I bet you wish you were in my shoes. Oh, Miss Popular. You see, I'm not here to please you or me. I have to please the Lord, that he may take pleasure in his church. And right now, there's rain coming down outside. And when we do you know what will happen? There'll be an end of drought. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to pour out. He's going to do stuff you could never do. There are situations you've never been able to sort, and he's going to sort it. And he says, I'm going to stir up my spirit. If you obey me in this, I'm going to stir up my spirit on the inside of you. You're going to start to prophesy. You're going to bring the gifts of the spirit. You're going to bring me on to the scene at work. And there's going to be miracles and signs and wonders. And my church is going to be greater than in the former days. It's going to be even better than it's ever been. There'll be an end of drought. There'll be an end of dissatisfaction, an end of unfruitfulness. And maybe, just maybe. See, God isn't calling just a few of us to this. He's calling his church, all his people, no matter what their circumstances. Imagine the people in that day. There were widows. There were singles. There were kids. There was all kinds of families, grandparents. There were people who actually stopped working physically, but they were still on fire for God. And they didn't see retirement to seek their own vision. They saw retirement to serve the Lord. They decided, I'm going to build the church. I'm going to spend my days doing what God wants. I'm going to put him first. Amen. And then the drought ends. There's enough, more than enough money. There's time for relationships. We get the best marriages. Come on, church, let's have the best marriages. Not scratchy, but oiled by the Holy Spirit. Let's get the best relationships. Don't be miffed with each other. You know, the more miffed you are with somebody, the more you need God. Scratchy equals you need the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's build church. Let's get back to the work of God first. And the promise, oh my goodness me, is seen in Haggai 2, verse 9. The glory of this present house, God says it, will be greater than the glory of the former. What's the promise? Your latter days. From now on. Anything you have seen, it's nothing. Because God's going to do greater than. But if you sit like a stone and do nothing with this, you're not going to see this. But I'm going for this. Personally. And I'm going to entrust the Holy Spirit that we as a leadership will be able to lead into that place of greater than we've ever seen before. It's not a mistake God's called us to pray and fast. It's not a mistake the building's going to be open at certain times to seek the Lord. It's not a mistake that you're here this morning to hear this word. And this word's got to filter down and become reality in all of our lives. And it might take a few weeks to really download and bring down some material. Because when there's change afoot, we just need to reset our patterns and allow the Lord to shine his light and to show us what needs changing. I'm up for this, but I can't obey the Lord for you. But the miracle is all the people obeyed. Can you see that? The whole remnant, whoever's left, before or after the 1st of January, whoever's left, tumbleweed, whoever's left, obeyed the whole lot. In whatever way, we need the grace to do it, but we need to do it first, take action. So quick review, and then we're going to pray. Is that okay? Wake up. Alarm. Consider your ways. Make changes. Take action. And then, what does the Lord say? Your latter days will be greater than your former. See, I actually believe the end time church, that the book of Acts, Acts 2, was a beginning, and that greater than that is going to happen in the last days. But God began something great, but it's just a model, a standard for us to be inspired by, but to seek even greater things. There's an end time harvest to bring in. But the glory of Jesus needs to be seen in the church first. You understand? Jesus says, build my church. Come and work on the church. Play your part in bringing material down to add to the building of my church. You know, everything else will be burned up. Whatever we're working on that isn't God, fire will burn it up. And nothing will remain that we did for ourselves. Which is why you need to raise your kids for God. Why you need to be a radical follower of Jesus as a mum, as a dad. It's why as a single you've got to say, Lord, I honor you. I give you everything that I am and have to follow you. If you're retired, that Lord, here's my retirement. It's your time. It's not my time. It's your time. If you're in business, this is your business. This is your time, Jesus. I want you to be Lord of all. I don't want my business to take over the kingdom. Amen. And if we obey, I'm telling you, this year, I'm excited. I've got to the end of the word, you'll be pleased to know. And I'm actually excited. Excited to have downloaded. I feel relieved, to be honest. because it's not, you know, you'd rather have said, oh, you're going to be blessed. You're going to see a mate. Oh, you're going to be, oh, let me, Holy Spirit, come. Bosh. We stand up the same. Nothing's changed. But I believe the word of the Lord has gone out and it will prosper in the thing that he's been sent to do. And it will fulfill his purpose. Because I believe in the word of the Lord. That this is God's word. Not man's, but God's. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.